My name's T.W. Davis. I'm the lead pastor here at High Point, and we are so excited you're here. We are in our Parables of the Kingdom series, so if you want to go ahead, thank you, Michael. If you want to go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 13, that's where we're going to be, either in your on your app or in your Bible. If you need one, we have them in the back. Absolutely. Everybody should have access to the Word of God. Now, this entire chapter, Jesus has been giving some parables about the kingdom, and he's giving these parables because chapter before this, we see, by earthly standards, Jesus' ministry isn't going so well. They're trying to kill him. They're plotting against him. He just told his family, my faith is more important than my family. And it's just not going well from earthly standards. But here's the question that we wrestle with in this whole, or in the concept of this whole deal, but especially in this chapter, is why do more people not follow Jesus? That's been the question we've been tracing this whole chapter in Matthew. And today, Jesus has two final parables for us. One to put a final piece to the puzzle, and then one to have us take a step back and look at this entire chapter as a whole. Make sure that we are owning our response to Jesus. And we're not just asking why more people don't turn to Jesus because we're curious. We're asking because we need to make sure that our own response to him is correct. We need to understand how others respond so that we can relate to them in the right way. So here's our first parable for today, the parable of the net. And it speaks of final separation. So starting in verse 48, Matthew 13. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. This is a simple story of a fisherman who lets out a net. It's a drag net. If you've ever seen how those work, they pick up everything. And it's dragged through the sea until it's full, and then it's brought onto the beach, and then the sorting begins. And the bad fish get thrown away. The good fish are put into the fisherman's basket. And the cool part about this particular parable is Jesus doesn't give us time to guess what he's talking about. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's talking about what's going to happen at the end of time, when judgment day comes. And this is similar to the parable of the weeds and the wheat. If you'll remember that one, at the end of it, he says, the Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Two destinies. Some get to live in God's house, in his kingdom, enjoying living with God, shining like the sun, a life in glory forever. And others are thrown into God's furnace, which blazes forever for an eternity of pain and regret, absent from God and all that is good. Going to be a final separation, a final sorting out. Those who follow Jesus, who are part of his family, will face one future, and the others will face a very different one. Like I said, this is the final piece of the puzzle. So let's step back and look at the finished picture here. Look at this whole chapter. We're asking why more people don't follow Jesus. The first piece of this puzzle is that the sower and the seed are always the same. We looked at this in verses 1 through 23 with the parable of the sower and its explanation. The problem is not with Jesus. Okay? The same seed is sown in every case, and that seed is the word, the message about Jesus. And that seed is not faulty. It lands in different soils. Some people hear it, and they hear the good word about Jesus Christ, and they do nothing. They do nothing. It has no impact. Other people, they give up when life gets tough or when other priorities take over. But for some people, that word goes deep into their lives. They become fruitful to God in all kinds of ways. That's the first piece of the puzzle that we saw. In any moment in time, there's a range of people who hear the word of Jesus, and they respond in different ways. The second is that we need to have a long view of a massive ending. In verses 24 to 35, we had the parable of the field that appeared to contain an insane amount of weeds, and the farmer left the weeds there. He didn't uproot them, he waited. And sure enough, at the harvest time, the field was full of wheat. Or the parable, the yeast has to take its time to spread through the dough, or the tiny mustard seed will grow into something so big, a bush so big that the birds can put their nests in it. And we're not looking at a single moment in time, but throughout time, the kingdom grows and grows and grows. And if it doesn't look very big to you, it's because you're only looking at your slice of history. Take the long view. God's kingdom is massive. When we look at these passages, we see how kind God is to delay the end, to give people more time to turn to him. How many of us would not be followers of Jesus if he'd returned earlier? You know what I'm talking about. The football game is not going so well, but you're given extra time. It's an exam where you hear the prompter say, stop writing, and you realize that's not for you. That's for people with a short test. You still have an hour. You're doing a longer paper. You still have another hour to go. These are the answers that we've come up with so far. At any different moment, different people will respond differently to the same good word. And if you look at the sweep of history, Jesus' kingdom is growing and getting bigger every moment. And there's still time for you to join. And there's still time for others to join. And then we get to verse 36 to 52. We get the third piece. The first with the parable with the weeds returns. But Jesus changes the emphasis. And he's focused on the delay here. He explains that this emphasis on the final destinies, the wheat in the barn and the weeds in the bonfire. And then today we get the parable of the fish in the net. There's a delay before the net is full, but the emphasis is the same. Good fish go in the basket, bad fish are burnt. And the second answer is that there is still time for the kingdom to grow. Time to become a Christian. Time for you or your family or your friends or your coworkers to follow Jesus. And I got to be honest with you, there will not always be more time. There won't always be more time. There will come an end and a final day of judgment and a day of separation, and our destinies will be determined, set forever. You may be playing with extra time right now, but one day the final whistle is going to blow. You may have an extra half hour to write some answers on that test, but one day you're going to hear that voice that says, put your pen down, stop writing, it's over. And then our destinies are sealed. And we either go to live with Jesus in his kingdom, with his Father, a future of perfect enjoyment, total health, well-being, living with God and Jesus and the Father forever, or we take our place in the fire, which God punishes everything that's not good. the final curtain will fall. And in between having the weeds explained and hearing about this full net of fish, we had two more short parables about a treasure buried in a field and a pearl of great value. And in both stories, there's a man who wanted the treasure. He wanted the pearl more than anything else in the world. And the pearl and the treasure were his most prized possessions. And so he sold, they sold everything they had to get it. And they didn't mind giving it up. Nothing is too high a price to pay for that one thing. And now we see why, because the treasure, the pearl, is the relationship with Jesus. And when the whistle blows and the curtain falls, there's going to be one question that matters that day. Do you personally know, trust, and follow Jesus? And on that question rests how you'll spend eternity. Not just the rest of the day, not just the rest of the week, not just the rest of the year, how you'll spend the rest of forever. It will be utterly irrelevant how many bedrooms you have in your house, which iPhone you owned, whether you got picked for the baseball team, whether you got that degree, whether you have three smiling children that have it all together. Now you see why a man who found the treasure and sold everything he had to get it. Now you see why this pearl merchant sold everything he had to get this one pearl. Knowing Jesus is the only thing that matters. Because although there is more time, one day there'll be no more time. The final separation. So there's the final piece to this puzzle. Why are not more people Christians? Because different people respond differently. But there's still more time for people to respond rightly, but there's not unlimited time. And Jesus has one last parable for us. He invites us to look back on this entire chapter and look at our lives and consider our response to all of it. So let's read the next two verses, 51 and 52. Have you understood these things? They said to him, yes, which makes me smirk. And then he said to them, therefore, every scribe who's been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out his treasure, what is new and what is old. If we have properly followed through with the things that Jesus has taught us in this chapter, we'll do three things. First, we will follow. Jesus is talking about every teacher of the law. Every teacher of the law has become a disciple. And there were people in Jesus' day who that was their job. They were teachers of the law. Some were official, some weren't. But in Jesus' mind, there is one key qualification. You have to be a disciple. You have to. And this is nothing new for us. At the end of chapter 12, like I talked about before, we heard Jesus talking about who his real family is. And he says, it's his inner circle. First and foremost, they were his disciples, his apprentices, those who go through life taking their cue from Jesus, who come to him to find rest for their souls, to stop making their own paths through life, to do things his way. The parables have taught us again and again, we need to be soil in which God's word takes deep and lasting root. We need to be wheat in God's field. We need to sacrifice for the hidden treasure, for the pearl that is following Jesus. Be good fish in his net. Whatever else you do with this chapter, make sure that we are followers of Jesus. Each parable has shown us that that's what really matters. You've got to follow. The next thing that it shows us is we got to understand. Jesus has finished all these parables. He's taught the crowd. He's given them explanations for the disciples and for the crowd. And then he checks in with them. Verse 51, have you understood all these things? Given the history of the disciples, the answer is no. But they say yes. Whether he believes them or not, he keeps going. See, it's not an unnecessary question. That's the whole thing about parables. The truth lies beneath the surface. A lot of people hear them, but not everybody understands what they're saying. And Jesus doesn't call us to follow him in the dark. He wants us to understand as best we can with our pitiful human brains his plan and how he's doing things. He wants us to understand how fruitful his word can be when it's taught, to understand the different responses Jesus is going to meet, to understand the pressures and the pleasures that lead men and women to stop following Jesus or to be distracted, or to understand the history of what Jesus is doing, that Jesus' kingdom is going to continue to grow and grow and grow over the long term. To understand that Jesus is the most precious thing that any man, woman, or child could ever possess. To understand that there will be a day in the future when judgment will fall and there will be a separation. And to understand that death is not the end for us, that we live in eternity and that Jesus paid it all. These parables are here to tell us, help us understand these things, so we can impress them vividly in our hearts. Have you understood all these things? We still say no, don't we? But we're working on it. So understand. So we got follow, be a disciple. Understand, you got to understand. And third, you got to pass it on. You got to pass it on. If we know and follow Jesus, if we understand his plan for history and his plan for our lives, we are rich. We have the greatest treasure in the world, and it's too good to keep to ourselves. It makes too big of an impression on us. This being Memorial Day weekend, I have an example. My grandmother has told my entire family many times over and over about her mother's brother, her Uncle Arthur. He was drafted right out of high school into World War II and went straight to boot camp and never got a furlough the entire time he was in the military. He was an airborne infantry until he was wounded. And when he got better, he went back. And on February 3rd, 1945, he was killed in a foxhole. And they sent his body home, and it was a closed casket. And because he was drafted and went straight there and never had a furlough, no one in his family ever saw him in a uniform. They didn't even see him in the casket in a uniform. He had an honor guard with his casket during the entire funeral, all the way till it went in the ground. I never met this man. But my grandmother watched all this happen and told us the story every Memorial Day and every December 7th about him. How he fought and died for our freedom, and his story and sacrifice meant a lot, made an impact on her, made an impact on my family. And to be honest with you, the name Arthur Wright, if I see it somewhere else, if I didn't know this story, he did great things, I wouldn't have known about it. But because it made an impact on my grandmother's life, I know that name. And Jesus has done something greater for you. When's the last time you shared the story of Jesus? When's the last time you shared the story of Jesus in your life to someone who doesn't know Jesus? Or someone who would read the name Jesus Christ and not really understand who that is? I want to read verse 52 again. Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out his treasure, what is old and what is new. New treasures and old treasures. God's plan to save the world is an old plan. It was written on every page of the Old Testament. And now that Jesus has come, he's fulfilled God's ancient plan. He's added color. He's added richness, some contrast to what God has always been promising. God didn't do something brand new in Jesus. It was the climax of what God has been doing for centuries. But the point is, we have these things in our storehouse, in our storeroom. We have treasure. We have this treasure in our treasure chests. And the thing we are to do with it is bring it out, serve it up, give it away. The only way to be a curator of this kind of treasure is to be generous. Get it out of your cabinet. Show it off. Show it to people. Let people take it away with them. There's a phrase used to describe when someone does something good for you and you can't do anything back. Pay it forward. Somebody does you a kindness. They fix your car. They paint your living room. They buy you a meal. They put you up for the night in an emergency. And you say, how could I ever repay you? And they say, you can't. I did it out of the kindness of my heart. You'd be doing it out of obligation. So instead, pay it forward. Express that same kindness to someone else. God doesn't ask us to pay him back for his goodness. You can't afford it anyway. We got to pay it forward. We know the good news of Jesus. We know how it spreads. We know how his word is received. We know how the kingdom grows. We know our part in spreading the good news, to spread the word, to spread the kingdom. So follow, understand, and pass it on. Where are these three things for you? Where are you at with these three things? These three responses. Do you follow him? No. We could fix that. Let's have that conversation. Do you understand what Jesus is talking about? Sometimes. As best we can. But you keep learning when you come to Bible classes, when you come to the table, when you go to small groups, when you do Sunday school. That is you learning. That is you understanding. We will work with you on that too. Are you reading the Bible to understand? Yeah? I hope so. If not, we can help you with that too. It's important. But the thing that you're supposed to do is pass it on. Pass it on, knowing that the seed and the sower are of utmost importance. God is asking you to facilitate the seed landing on every soil possible. He who has ears, let him hear.